worthy to be praised and worshiped in this place. Father, we just thank you tonight. We give you glory and honor. This is because of you. We're here because of you. We've come. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, lead us into the truth tonight. Even show us things to come. We honor you, Father, and we thank you for all that you have done and are doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Give them a big hand clap. Praise the Lord. That's my favorite son-in-law leading worship tonight. My only son-in-law, but it's my favorite. I've heard so many people say, you can't have favorites. I got a favorite pastor's wife. Mine. Thought I'd clarify that for some of you. They're wondering who it was. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. If you got your Bible, open it up to Philemon. Philemon, I'm going to start there. Seems like I can't preach a sermon anymore without starting somewhere around here, it seems like. But there's so much in this verse that can launch us into so many things. This little book here of 25 verses, this letter that Paul wrote to his brother in Christ and his fellow laborer, Philemon. You know, Paul knew, like we all ought to know, none of us are in this by ourselves. Isn't that good news? It doesn't matter what God's called you to do, you're not going to have to do it by yourself. And God has a calling on every one of our lives. May never be in the pulpit, that's all right. Praise the Lord. But whatever it is God has for you, it's not lone wolf, you know. Besides the lone wolf dies, it's the wolf that stays in the pack that lives. And so we're part of this family of God, and we're going to work together with one another. Verse 6 from the King James says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And I always like to bring out here communication, that your partnership, your fellowship, the participation of your faith may become active and powerful. That's what the word effectual means. How many of you want to have active and powerful faith? Well, how do we have that? Look at this. By the acknowledging or the discerning, the recognizing and having precise and correct knowledge concerning, notice this now, every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I really believe that last part speaks to something that I want to bring out tonight, and that is perspective. How are we viewing things that happen to us in life? From what perspective are we viewing it? From what perspective are we gathering our information? From what perspective are we speaking concerning that situation? You know, so many times if we're not careful, something will happen, and we'll start speaking from the moment, from the natural, and we let things come out of our head and out of our mouth that we don't really realize are in there. Amen. But we need to speak things and see things from God's perspective. And he says, acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So in other words, think of it this way. What has God put in us? He calls it every good thing. And how does God view this situation? How does God view what's taking place right now? And then I want you to turn over to, and these are just our start, Colossians chapter 3. So as I acknowledge, as I testify concerning, as I speak concerning, as I fully recognize concerning every good thing that's in me, from that viewpoint, from that standing point, I like David Binion wrote a song called Heaven on Earth here a few years ago when Roy Brock was still here. We sang it quite a bit. But there's a verse down there that some of the song some of the lyric sheets that you see don't even include it, but I know Roy would sing it, and I like it. Heaven is calling for you to come higher. Now, this is in Colossians 3. This is from the song, okay? Heaven is calling for you to come higher, to see everything from a new point of view, to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. From his perspective, everything is made new. From his perspective, God's perspective. Amen? And we're in Christ, and Christ is in us. God is in us, you could say it that way, because God's in him. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We are citizens of heaven. Amen? And we should see things from heaven's point of view. Now here, Paul told the Colossians, he said, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where? Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, we don't have time tonight, but we know from reading, especially in Ephesians, that we're seated with Jesus at the right hand of God, are we not? We're seated with him in that place. He said, set your affection, King James says. I've got a note in my Bible to look over here, and it means your mind. Set your mind, your thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. That sounds a lot like seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness, Matthew 6, 33, and all these things shall be added to. I also like there, it says, take no thought for tomorrow. Now, it doesn't mean we don't plan, but it says, don't take thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow, the things of tomorrow, he said, don't worry about tomorrow is what he's saying, because tomorrow you'll have things to do tomorrow and live today. He said, for you are dead, back here in verse 3, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Listen to this from the Passion Translation. Well, hang on. Okay, you did me wrong there. Okay, here we go. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with, I love this, heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. See, when I see myself from God's perspective, when we see situations, things that happen in life, and life happens, you know, Jesus talked about the, life happens to everybody. Jesus talked about the storms of life, right? He said, "Build. If you do my word, you build your house on the rock. If you don't do my word, it's like building your house on the sand." Did you ever notice in that the storm came to both? I don't know. You know, if somebody told you when you became a Christian, all your troubles will cease to exist. No, they lied to you. Amen. We live in this world. This is a fallen world we live in. I kind of get a kick sometimes out of listening to folks, you know, well, if you eat that, that'll kill you. It'll all kill you, folks. It's cursed. Amen. The earth is cursed. It's operating. Romans 8 says it's groaning, waiting, just like our body is groaning and waiting for that resurrected body. This earth is groaning and waiting till it is remade. Hallelujah. Because it's been under that curse since Adam's sin. The ground became cursed. That's why he said, whatever you eat, you know, do it. Thank God for it. Sanctify it with the word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. But here, I want us to look tonight at five things quickly. Five things from Jesus' perspective and see how he looked at things from his perspective that will help us, I think. And I want to start in Matthew 14. Now, my premise in this is, and we're going to, every one of these you'll notice, will have the statement, Jesus isn't afraid of, then we're going to say what it is. Jesus isn't afraid. First of all, Jesus isn't afraid of the storms in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now see, why are we saying Jesus isn't? Because we want to see things from his perspective. His perspective of seated at the right hand of God, where we're there in Him. So we need to look at it from His perspective. Right? And we do realize this, that everything that happens on this earth is just a moment in time and concerning eternity. Sorry. It's just a flash. All right? Matthew here, 14, starting verse 23. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now, He had sent them across the sea. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Anybody had any contrary circumstances in life? Anybody had things rise up? Somebody raised both hands back. Anything blow against you? Winds of life blow against you, contrary winds of life. Well, they had it there. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. I mean, here came their deliverance, and they were afraid of it. Now think about it. Think about it. The waves were tossed. The wind was contrary, and here came their deliverer on the very thing that was making them afraid. They see shipwreck. Jesus saw a walk path. Amen? They saw the winds blowing. Jesus is taking a walk on the water from His perspective. All right? He says, "But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Excuse me. Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And He said, "Come." Well, I mean, what's He going to say? "Well, Peter, it really is me, but I really don't think it's a good idea for you to walk on the water." Peter gave Him no way. I'm telling you, sometimes we don't give God a way out. Amen. So He says, "Come. Come on, big boy." Now, let's not get mad at Peter. At least he got out of the boat. Hallelujah. We can either get out of the boat and walk in the water with Jesus, or we can sit with the huddled masses in fear. Hey, let's walk on some water. Amen. Why? Let's see it from His perspective. All right. He said he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, I want you to notice that he saw the wind. That changed his perspective. He's not seeing this from Jesus' point of view, which said, "Come." Now, he's seeing it from a different point of view. Now, think about it. Whenever we do that, we stop thinking logically. So, Peter, what you're saying is, if the sea was calm, you could walk on the water. Because what's stopping him now? He says, "See, the wind's blowing. And the waves are starting to pick up. Oh, I guess I can't." He's walking on the water, and then he sees something, and it changes his perspective. Aren't you? You know, I know that woman with the issue of blood is so glad that she didn't let the crowd change her perspective of, "I'm going to touch his garment." She said, "If I can touch but his garment." And the Bible says she came through the crowd. She had to get to the garment to get her healing. And she could have stopped it many times and said, "Well, it's just too many people today." Who knew if Jesus would have ever come by her house again? But she didn't let what she saw change the perspective that she had of her receiving her healing. Well, you know the story. Peter cried out, said, beginning to sink. Jesus lifted, he wasn't up to his neck. He began to sink. Jesus lifted him up. And he said, verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. They that were in the ship worshiped him, saying, "Of truth, you are the Son of God." Jesus is not afraid of the storms in your life. Mark chapter 6, please. Let's look here in Mark 6, verse 30. I heard someone here on the radio just yesterday. So they're driving around and they were quoting, I don't even remember the minister they quoted. It was an old-time minister and from years ago. And they said, this minister said this, I noticed this. Everything God puts in front of me is impossible to do from my point of view. Everything he asked me to do is impossible. All right? But I got good news for you. Jesus isn't afraid of your lack of resources. He's not afraid of what you lack, because he lacks nothing. Here, look at Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they taught. And he said, come you yourselves apart into this desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran on foot throughout all the cities, and out went them and came together. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep having not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now notice that's their perspective of this situation, right? But look at Jesus. He said, you give them to eat. And they said, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. See, always, listen, look to heaven. That's where the answer is. That's where we see things from that new point of view. And he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat all, and they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. Look, Jesus is not afraid of your lack of resources. When he tells you to do something, he's got a plan. Amen? He's already figured that out, and he's seeing it from his perspective. Luke chapter 5, please. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of times, you know, and we've all experienced it, when we try to do something in and of our own strength and in the past, you know, we fail. Okay? And just naturally speaking, like we're talking about the golf tournament, you're not going to always hit every ball straight down the fairway. You're not going to make every putt. No one ever has. No one ever was. And I remember my son, when he was little, he thought Jesus, no matter what sport Jesus did, he never failed. He was perfect at everything, which I don't know. I don't know if Jesus gets a hole in one on every hole or not. But if he does, I'm calling not fair. If we play, how many of you want to play golf in heaven? I want to play golf in heaven because I think it'll be fun. All right? Yeah, I want to play. All right. The rest of you, that's all right. Go sit in your mansion. I don't care what you do. But I got good news for you. Jesus isn't afraid of your failures. Hallelujah. Now look here in Luke 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, same lake there, and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, or we know as Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, the King James says, or for a catch. Simon, now here we're going to see his perspective. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now this is a professional fisherman. And he said, he's got partners, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. They've got their boat. And these professional fishermen have fished all night and have not caught anything. All right? So if you're a professional fisherman and you didn't catch anything all night, that is called failure. But Jesus said, look, let's go out, cast your nets out, and let's go for a catch. But notice what Peter said next. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, Jesus didn't say net. He'd said nets. And when they had done this, they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. And when Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now notice that he's fresh off a failure. Peter has fresh off this failure, and Jesus tells him, let's go out and fish. He just failed at it. Look at it though, from God's perspective, let's go do it again. Now I also want you to notice Jesus didn't say, let's go fishing. He goes, let's go catch. Jesus said some things from his perspective. He made statements that we're scared of making in our day. We're kind of fearful because we see things again from the natural perspective. But he talked, there was twice, I know, in raising the dead, Jesus said, let's go wake them up. Lazarus and the little girl. Jesus said, all we got to do is wake them up. Well, they're dead. But from his perspective, they just needed to wake up. Here, he said, he didn't say, let's go fishing, let's go catch. That's a whole different viewpoint. Amen. I think sometimes we don't spend the time to get heaven's perspective on it before we say what we say about situations. Amen. I've done it. But we need to learn, like the Bible said, to be slow to speak. Go to John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory to God. He's not afraid of the storms in your life. Jesus is not afraid of your lack, afraid of the lack of, in your life, or lack of provisions, ever how you want to look at that. Jesus is not afraid of your failures. I like this one right here in John chapter 4. Jesus is not afraid of your past. I got good news for you tonight. I don't know what's happened in your past. Everybody in here has a past. And we're not going to stand up tonight and give testimony of what happened in the past. But I'm going to tell you right now, no matter what your past has in it, Jesus is not afraid of it tonight. There's nothing in your past that is greater than what he did at the cross. There's nothing in your past that's greater than his perspective on it. And you need to start looking at yourself based on his perspective of you. And quit trying to fill your life because of your past with things that will not satisfy. Jesus is here in John chapter 4 in Samaria at the well. And I'm going to skip on up if we can to verse 7, if we can. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. And said to the woman of, then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. See, here again, her perspective. She didn't know who she was talking to. Amen. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then will you have that living water? How can you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And I want you to notice, she is limiting that situation based solely on what she can see. But when God is involved in things, we're only limited by what he has said. And Jesus said, if you would ask me, now she didn't know who he was at that point, I will give you living water and you'll never thirst again. If you'll ask of me. Okay, And that's, we got to know what, Brother Hagin, you said, find out what God's word says about your situation, right? Find out what it says about your situation, then act on that, pray that out. Okay, so he goes on, verse 13, Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinks of the water, of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, you know, let's talk about this for just a moment before we see something here about seeing things from heaven's perspective. You know, if that life is in us, it's a well, it's the Spirit of God at the new birth is in us. It's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then every answer you need is already in you. Amen. Now, you know, and I understand what people are saying, but if we don't live in the New Testament, we tend to look at things from a perspective of whatever tradition has told us or whatever song we sing tells us about, you know, that the power's got to come down or the power's got to come, and the power does come upon. I understand that. But you know what? For you, for your individual life, that power, that life's already in you. It's in you. You know, right now where you're sitting, if you're a Christian, that life, that healing power of God is in you right now. It's in you. Well, what's it doing in there? Well, it's working a healing and a cure, praise God. We used to talk about, you know, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. I remember back in the days hearing people talk about the life of God is flowing in my veins. Flowing. It's in us. It's a well springing up into everlasting life. Spring up, oh well. See, it's in us. Glory to God. Now look what the woman said. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Now you know this. There's a thirst in the world for people. People have after many things, but just everything from self-worth to annoying, is there a God? What's my purpose in life? Anything that people are desiring to know, it's like a thirst that has to be quenched. How many of you, when you met Jesus, certain thirst was quenched in you, right? And as you read the Word of God and you found out more, that thirst is quenched, all right? Well, here this woman, she said, look, I want a drink of this water because Jesus said, you'll never thirst again. Now, look what Jesus says to her, because he brings out a point to her here. He said, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband, in that you said truly. Now, what's she trying to do? She's trying to fill up that void or quench that thirst for her with relationships with men. Now, we're not told how or how the other five marriages, how those ended. We're not told. But Jesus is saying, look, that will never quench that thirst. That's what he's telling her. I don't know what it is. If you think this will do it, if you think that, listen, there's nothing that's going to fill that void. There's nothing that's going to quench that thirst than your relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, you can't pray enough. You can't read the Bible enough. You can't quote enough scripture. You can't volunteer enough. You can't do good deeds enough. There's nothing you can do that will quench that thirst other than your relationship with God. It's that well of water springing up from within that's going to quench that thirst. And then once that thirst is quenched, you know, I've visited people in the hospital. I'm sure everyone on the staff has. They got there, and really what they found out was what? They were dehydrated. Thought all this major stuff was going on with them. I mean, they had symptoms. Their body's rebelling. It's going crazy. And found out they needed to drink some water. They'd gotten dehydrated. How many folks have been dehydrated spiritually? And it seems like everything's breaking loose. Everything's breaking loose. That's why we gotta, that's why the Bible says that the washing of the water of the Word, that the Word of God. Hallelujah. Go back to the Word. Spend time in the Word of God and hydrate yourself. Amen. Drink from that well that's springing up on the inside of you. The woman said, I perceive you are a prophet. Then she talks to him about worship. He talks about worshiping in spirit and truth. Jesus, listen to me, isn't afraid of your past. Amen. Then I want to go to the last chapter in the book of the Bible, Revelation 22. I got good news for you too. Jesus isn't afraid of your future. Hallelujah. Let's just start in verse 1. Actually, if we had time and we don't, I'd start in chapter 21 because I like that where the holy city, the New Jerusalem. But let's read here from chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river, a river of water of life. There's that life again, that water. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see that you do it not. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You know, a lot of folks are afraid. When they think about the future, they get afraid. All the terrible things that are going to happen. Now, for the child of God, I'm telling you, child of God, Jesus isn't afraid of your future. And you don't need to be afraid of it either. There's nothing to look forward to in fear. Amen. Amen. And if Jesus, even if he does tarry and you die, oh death, where is the sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah, there is none because why? Sin has been dealt with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He goes on to say here, verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, now the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, John said, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is not afraid of your future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to see things from heaven's perspective. Everything in life that happens, what does heaven's perspective of this look like? What does it look like from the throne of God? What does it look like from seated at the right hand of God on high? What does it look like seated in that place of authority? What does it look like being the righteousness of God in Christ? What does it look like being the child of the Most High God? What does this situation look like? Amen? From Jesus' perspective, because that's the perspective that we're to have. Heaven is calling for us to come higher, to see everything from a new point of view. Amen? I challenge you tonight to start seeing things from his point of view, because he's not afraid of anything. Amen? He's not afraid of anything that has happened in the past or that could happen to you in the future. Jesus isn't afraid. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that you have given us your word, that we might know your perspective. And that, Father, you speak to us by your Spirit. And as your Spirit speaks to us, even shows us things to come, we have no need of fear. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our Lord. If he never leaves us nor forsakes us, what do we have to fear? And Father, we thank you, Father. I thank you that whatever it is that you've set in front of us, though from earth's perspective it's impossible, from your perspective it's done. From earth's perspective, that sickness can't be cured, but from your perspective it's already healed. From earth's perspective, that thing is dead, but from your perspective it's resurrected. From earth's perspective, it's cursed, but from your perspective it's been redeemed. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I'm just going to speak this out. Many, many carry around an open wound. Some things have happened in the past that wounded you. And rightfully so. They were things meant actually to destroy you. But even then, my mercy was on your side. My grace was working for you. And there were others praying for you, and you were protected from it, from the total harm of it. But it's been an open wound. But because you looked at it from the wrong perspective, you haven't allowed it to heal. But tonight, there's healing right now. Healing so no scar is even visible. There doesn't need to even be a mark left. The healing power of God. The restoration, the restorative power of God. Healing you from what the devil meant to destroy you. You're healed of tonight. As you speak of it from heaven's point of view. As you think of it from heaven's point of view. You're not that person any longer. Many things happened to you before you became a Christian even. But you're a new creature in Christ. Yes, the mind has to be renewed. Yes, the body has to be, the flesh has to be brought under. But yet, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things are now new because all things are of God. Healing, 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 healing. In fact, this is what I saw. Was that well, that river of that well of spring of living water has been bubbling up, trying to reach into that area of your thinking and of your mind and of your past, but you have closed it off so much that you won't allow yourself to heal from it. And so what you've kept that wound open instead of allowing the healing power of God to just totally heal it. And an open wound is a dangerous thing. You've opened yourself up to infection. You've opened yourself up to things that you don't want in your life, that don't belong in your life. Even infectious relationships. You've allowed people into your life based on your open wound. But tonight can be the end of that. right now. Right now, see it from His perspective. It's a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. For you have died and your life is now hid with Christ. That's gone. It's gone. Father, we just thank You and praise You. Thank You, Father. Thank You for restoration tonight, Lord God. Thank You for Your healing power tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes being healed from those things is just as important as receiving that. More important, in fact, a lot of cases, than having something physically wrong with you. In some cases, that has been the cause of physical struggle. Thank You, Father. Can we just lift our hearts with our hands to the Lord tonight? Father, we just come and humbly bow before You. Humbly say that You are God. And when You raised Jesus, You raised us. And when You seated Jesus, You seated us. And Lord, may we see things from Your perspective. And we know that when we do, we're going to live a life free from fear. Jesus, Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our prayer team's here. Ha ha ha. Hey. Bando ku ha namaso ku dede mashin dede kesha janda ku tanda namama. Isha chindi ki dede mema shunja katanda namama. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, presence of the Lord. I know He's in us, but He's among us also today, tonight. Father, Father, we yield to You. Jesus, glory. Glory, glory to Your name. Glory to Your name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless You, Lord. We magnify You. We glorify You. We glorify You. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There, there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just know a few people just received something. Didn't want to get in a hurry there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Manifestations. Manifestations. Because God has stretched forth His hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done in the name of His holy child, Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Jesus' name above all names. Over all of our past, over all of our failures, over all of our lack. Ah. Over all of our future. Jesus, You are Lord. We declare Your Lordship. Thank You, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody here, you've had pain on the right side of your face? The right side of your face. Wave your hand. Raise your hand. On the right side, maybe your head. Right side, right over here. Right back here. Just stand up. If that's you, stand up. Place your hand on where it's hurt. In Jesus' name, you're healed right now. The healing power of God is working in you right now. Working right now. It's working right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 On your left shoulder blade. Anybody left shoulder blade's been hurting? Left side. Stand up. Stand. Left shoulder blade. Hallelujah. That healing power is still working in your head. Still working there. Whatever it was, first of all, whatever it was, wasn't as serious as you thought it was. Your mind will take you, oh, I got a tumor. But I'm telling you, no matter what it was, the healing power of God's taking care of it right now. Left shoulder blade. All right. Lift your left hand. Lift your left hand up here. Put it down. That life's working in you. Just back and forth. Just back and forth. Just keep doing it. Do what you couldn't do before with it. Do what you couldn't do before. Couldn't do that before? Well, you're doing it now. Amen? So how does it feel now? It's getting there? Well, just keep doing what you couldn't do. How about you, sir? It's working? Healing power is working in that up there? It's in your shoulder also? In your shoulder? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just go. Just keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. In Jesus' name. The life is working. The life of God is working in there. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about over here? How about you able to do what you couldn't do before? I'm coming your way. How about you? You able to do? What couldn't you do? What couldn't you do? You couldn't without the pain there and then back. Yeah. Well, how's it now? Is it releasing?
It's better.
It's a lot better. It's not gone yet, but oh, there. Well, hallelujah. Well, that life's working in there though. The life of God's working in there. So it has to go, right?
It's going.
It has to go, right? It has to go, right? It has to go. It's gone now. There we go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The life of God. The life of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, good. Okay. Now everybody stand up. Got that? I was going to dismiss, but the Lord wouldn't let. First time guests with our connection team, go with them. Let's give our first time guests a big hand clap. Glory to God. Thank you for being here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll say, well, what about me? Well, that life of God's working in you. Hallelujah. But sometimes, I just think of it this way. God loves people, right? And he didn't want this service to end till it was gone. Not going, gone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That life of God's still working in that left shoulder back there. It's still working. It's still working. It's still working. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Next time I see you at lunch, you're going to tell me. All right. Next time I see you there, you're going to tell me. Hallelujah.